Welcome to the Awakening Podcast. I'm Eddie Hite, your host. So glad you joined me today. We are continuing our theme this week of amazing women in the Bible. We have looked at Sarah. We've looked at Deborah. Today, we are going to look at a most amazing woman by the name of Ruth. Ruth is amazing for her commitment, her willingness to forsake all and to follow after God's plan and God's purpose. And you are going to be amazed at how God blessed her and how her commitment positioned her for incredible blessing and fruitfulness. You know, insight about Ruth unfolded to me some time ago. It was at Christmas time, and I was thinking on the passage in Micah 5:2, which is a prophecy about the coming Messiah and how the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. That prophecy reads, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." And as I thought on this passage, I was reminded of how God loves to take that which the world considers insignificant and use it to accomplish his purpose. This is what this prophecy is about. God purposely chose this little, insignificant village of Bethlehem as the place where the Savior of the world would be born. Now, as I was thinking on this, I remembered that this woman in the Old Testament named Ruth, who has a book named after her, she was from Bethlehem. So I decided to turn over and read her story again. And I was amazed. This woman who is characterized by absolute devotion and commitment to God and willing to forsake everything, how this positioned her for incredible fruitfulness and blessing. The story of Ruth actually begins with a woman named Naomi who became her mother-in-law. Naomi and her husband Elimelech, they were residents of Bethlehem, born and reared there. They married and they had two sons named Mahlon and Chilion. But there was a famine that came throughout the land of Judea, including Bethlehem. Food was scarce. And so Naomi and Elimelech, they took their two sons and they moved to Moab. There in Moab, the two sons grew up and they married two Moabite women, one named Orpah and one named Ruth. Over time, Naomi's husband Elimelech died. Then her two sons died, leaving her alone in this foreign land with her two Moabite daughters-in-law. So I think we can be quite sure that when Naomi heard that the famine was over back in her homeland and that there was food enough in Bethlehem, that she was quite excited and she made plans to return to Bethlehem. She shared her plans with her two daughters-in-law and encouraged them to return to their family Moabite homes. The outward response of Orpah and Ruth was the same. The initial response was the same in that they both wept at Naomi's words that she was leaving Moab and going back to the land of Israel. There was, however, a drastic difference of the heart. The scripture says, "And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her." Orpah gave her mother-in-law a goodbye kiss and returned to her Moabite family, religion, and home. Ruth, however, refused to depart. The Bible says she clung to Naomi. And the Hebrew word for clung means to adhere, to stick, and to be permanently joined. Both Orpah and Ruth had an emotional experience. Both wept. Only Ruth, however, made the commitment that would move her into the center of God's unfolding plan. After Orpah departed, Naomi continued to urge Ruth to follow suit and return to her Moabite family. Ruth refused and made the following incredible declaration of commitment. She said to her mother-in-law, Naomi, "Wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." There's that commitment, willing to leave and forsake all, in absolute commitment to God's plan and purpose. Well, Ruth and Naomi, they did return to Bethlehem. Actually, Naomi is the one who returned. It was the first time Ruth had ever been there. And they returned destitute. And so Ruth went out and picked up leftover grain from the fields that had already been harvested. This was known as gleaning. It was allowed by Israeli law for the sake of the poor in the land, who were allowed to go out and pick up the leftover grain that had been left behind by the harvesters. And so although life was hard for a time, Ruth's commitment had positioned her for incredible blessing from God. Through a series of stunning providential occurrences, Ruth met a wealthy farmer named Boaz in whose field she had gleaned. Boaz was very attracted to this Moabite girl, not only to her outward beauty, but also to her inner beauty. Because he said to her, "I have heard of you and your commitment and how you left everything, your home, your family, and everything to come to the land of Israel with your mother-in-law. I've heard about you, Ruth." He was impressed with that commitment. They married, and she became fruitful in every way. By the way, the word Bethlehem means house of bread. Isn't that appropriate that our Lord and Savior, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, who is called the bread of life, that he was born in a little town whose name means house of bread? Isn't it amazing how God has woven so many incredible things together in Scripture? And the word Ephratah that Micah used when he referred to Bethlehem as Bethlehem Ephratah, it means fruitfulness. Now, Boaz and Ruth were married. She bore a son whom they named Obed. Listen to this, amazing. Obed became the father of Jesse, and Jesse became the father of David. Ruth turned out to be the great-grandmother of King David and part of the genealogical line leading up to the birth of the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not bad for a Moabite girl. But that's what can happen when you're willing to forsake all and to follow him. Because of her commitment, this Moabite woman became immortalized in Jewish history. And her story, the book of Ruth, became a part of the Old Testament canon. Her name then became honored in Christian circles when Matthew included her in the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew 1 and 5. Yes, great blessing flows from absolute commitment. Let's look at and compare the experience of Oprah and Ruth and compare it to modern culture and to modern church culture in America today. You see, Oprah had an emotional experience in which she wept and kissed her mother-in-law. It was, however, a goodbye kiss lacking commitment. And she disappeared from the pages of the Bible in history. I'm afraid that modern American culture, including the church, is much like Oprah. We love our emotional highs, but commitment is lacking. We weep, we kiss, we hug, we dance, we shout, but there is no depth of commitment. Promises are broken. Friendships are left behind. Marriages are dissolved. And we go running and looking for another emotional high. Well, yes, I'm afraid that the American church today is more like Oprah than Ruth. And because we're more like Oprah than Ruth, we've learned how to have a good time and call it worship or revival. But we have not learned to become people of our word and people of absolute commitment. I am convinced that God is calling his people to a new level of commitment in 2021. And here's a prayer of commitment I encourage you to pray. And it's based not only on the example of Ruth, because I want to say it again. Her chief characteristic, this willingness to forsake all, to follow her mother-in-law Naomi, but most of all, Naomi's God and Naomi's people, is what positioned her for the incredible blessings that she could never have imagined. And God has blessings for us today we could never imagine. Our infinite, all-powerful, all-wise, omnipresent God has blessings we could never imagine, but we must be willing to make that absolute, total commitment to him. And he calls us to this. I'm going to read the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 37, where Jesus said, he, and that includes she, anywhere you hear me read he, that includes she. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He has to be the top priority in all of our relationships. He's not telling you to treat your mother, your father, your family badly or anything. No, he's just simply saying that when push comes to shove, he must have the ultimate place of commitment in your life. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Ruth lost her Moabite life. Oprah clung to her Moabite life. Ruth let go of her Moabite life, and oh, what a change. What a difference. I leave you with this prayer today. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. I give myself to you today unreservedly. Take my life and use me for your honor and glory. I invite you to search my heart and show me any attitudes or actions that are not pleasing to you. May I be shaped more and more into the likeness of Jesus, your Son. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I'm Eddie Hyatt. Thank you for being with me today on the Awakening Podcast. I invite you to friend me on Facebook. Check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. Check out my books on my website and at Amazon. And I'll see you tomorrow on another Awakening Podcast.